This is EdUp Legal with your host, Deborah Solmore. She's an experienced higher education lawyer, most recently the general counsel for a system of nonprofit institutions, and she's going to be leading conversations about trending legal, regulatory, and compliance matters in higher education, with a focus on leaving out the legalese and making legal easy. Let's hear from your host, Deborah Solmore.
Welcome to another episode of EdUp Legal. I'm excited to be joined once again by three amazing women, Laura Frederick, Sasha McGee, and Lisa Lang. As many of you listeners might know, I featured a conversation with these three women, and I believe it was episode 85, where we talked about a program that they were partnering on to bring experiential learning to Ohio Northern University's law students, specifically focused in the area of contracting. They held the program about a week and a half ago. And while I really had intended to be there in person, I'm sort of having, FOMO by having to do this as a podcast because I was not able to attend in person. But I'm excited to sort of dive in and talk to these three women about the program. And it sounds like it was an amazing success. Thank you for sharing pictures with me. It was wonderful. So I'm going to turn to you first, Laura, and ask. So tell me about this partnership. You had this idea with Lisa to bring this to the law school, and sort of what is your sort of overall first takeaway from the event?
Yeah, this was our first event, ContractsCon event with law students. And I wasn't quite sure in advance of how they would respond, but I think Sasha McGee, who I'm sure I'll talk in a minute, she prepared some really great materials that engage the law students where they are in their contract training journey, which many of them haven't seen contracts, haven't worked on contracts. So the purpose of the day was to really get them some familiarity and try and introduce them to it. And it was fantastic. I could see the wheels turning in the law students' heads as they heard different parts of the program and were trying to act, you know, as if they were in the real world and thinking through issues and approaching the contract. So I was so impressed with the students and just the whole program itself. It was a way beyond expectations in terms of student engagement, effectiveness, showing the students what it's like when you are working with contracts with clients and have inconsistent and sometimes incomplete information, and you're trying to do a contract where you actually don't know all the facts and don't know if your client is telling you everything. So it created a lot of that real world scenario in such an effective way. I'm, again, kudos to Sasha and Lisa, who did the bulk of the work in preparing the program.
Yeah. So Lisa, let me ask you, as Ohio Northern's general counsel, and I also had the privilege of having a wonderful conversation, and I should know the episode number, but I'm blanking on it, with the law school's dean, Charlie Rose. What was sort of your thoughts in wanting to partner with Laura? Now, I know the two of you know each other through LinkedIn and through Laura's How to Contract and ContractsCon, but what were your thoughts about why you wanted to bring Laura's program to the law school?
Yeah, so part of what we have been trying to do with Ohio Northern University and the Pettit College of Law is to showcase the experiential learning that we do here. And a lot of times with law schools, you think of moot court and you think of criminal law and trial advocacy, but you don't think about it as much in the transactional realm. And the one frustration that I have always had as an in-house lawyer, and prior to teaching at ONU on a transactional drafting class, and before doing ContractsCon, I had pitched a class at an institution in Kentucky, and I was actually getting ready that class with acquired education. And in-house, doing in-house work. So, you know, part of my concern was that we talk a lot as practicing attorneys about the fact that we would like to see law school education change to become more experiential and to do more learning. in the practical world with practical skills. And one thing that the law school that I was going to do this other class with had said to me was that part of the reason they have not been emphasizing or showcasing other areas other than trial advocacy is because if you're moving your students into, say, contracts, procurement, or maybe in-house, a lot of times where you start is in a JD preferred role and not a JD required role, because that is something you build up to over time. And so I felt frustrated that we were denying our students the exposure to things that are other than this trial advocacy. Not everybody wants to be a trial lawyer, and there's so many other things out there that lawyers do. So what really helped bring this thing forward is Laura and I having this conversation about if lawyers are going to complain about how the training is handled in law school, number one, let's do something about it. But then number two, let's go find a law school who recognize the importance of the experiential learning model. And so when I moved from Kentucky and came to Ohio, I was so excited to see their emphasis in on that area. And so when I talked to Dean Rose about doing this, it was like a no-brainer. He gave me complete and total control and said, go for it. And so I really was excited about not only being able to do it, but to be able to give ONU the opportunity to be the first school to do it.
So sticking with this idea of the purpose and Sasha, I don't want to put you on the spot, so I'll open this question to anyone who wants to answer it. You know, I am firmly supportive of this idea of teaching law students more about how they're going to practice. But lately, I've actually seen a few people posting on LinkedIn and then sort of, you know, the discussions in the comments, for better or for worse, that we should not be focusing on that and that we should move backwards towards this law school supposed to be Socratic, law school supposed to be about critical thinking. It's not supposed to be about teaching practical skills. So I'm interested. I know that that is not going to be the three of your view, but what do you say to people who've now writing about that? Let's go back to the way, not to date ourselves, but let's go back to the way we probably all learn. I know I did. I'll speak for myself. The way I learned to practice, I learned in law school.
Yeah, I would love to chime in on this. Most of my education in law school about a decade ago or more was very case law. And you read the opinions of the Supreme Court justices and you get asked questions about it, right? And as we're seeing kind of the evolution of the Supreme Court and we're starting to have more criticism of different opinions and how they approach things, like really being baselined in this is what the justices think, don't really give you a good vision of how to practice your area. And also, most cases don't even make it to the Supreme Court, right? It creates precedents, but you have a giant body of precedents that might be Supreme Court opinions or other opinions or all sorts of other things. And so while I find a lot of value in my education, I learned a lot, obviously, I think it needs to be a healthier mix of learning to read and interpret and analyze and be able to debate, do we agree with these opinions or not, or why, and how has the country evolved and do they fit? But also, how are we going to have jobs? How are we going to practice when getting those jobs? What are those practical skills of stakeholder management, drafting, writing for different styles? And that's where I think this program that we did is so valuable, because we covered a whole host of skills that'll benefit these students, whether they go into any kind of contract-related practice or not. We worked on things like understanding what your client needs or wants. We worked on things like setting up a negotiation strategy. We worked on things like how does what your client need or want fit with the template that your own company has given you, because that's not always an equal equation there. And those skills are going to benefit these students no matter what area of law they practice, no matter where they go. And so I just think it needs to be a mix. We need to still read case law and build those critical thinking skills and really hone that ability. We also need to help these students come out of law school with practical skills that will set them up for success.
And I'd like, on that point, I think the response I would have is times have changed. When we were graduating from law school 25 years ago, you had a training track. If you graduated law school, you went to a law firm. The law firm trained you how to do that. You were mentored by the partners on how to practice law and how to draft and negotiate, how to do everything lawyers do. Or you went into government or a clerkship. So there was a system in place that provided great training for most law school graduates. That system is broken down, and very few people are getting great training as they come out of law school. So a model of law school education that worked as a hand in hand with law firms and, you know, government, judicial employers to provide that training for new lawyers doesn't exist anymore. And we can't just keep holding on to this, let's spend 3 years doing Socratic method on case law as a basis for training this new generation of lawyers. It's doing them a disservice to graduate law school, have no path to learn after they graduate law school. I mean, if you look at all the surveys and questions I've done, a very high percentage of lawyers will tell you they trained themselves on contracts. I mean, if you talk to in-house counsel, if you talk to contract managers, if you talk to so many, they all train themselves, which is scary because you can kind of figure stuff out, but how are you going to learn the nuances? It's a terrible way. So I think law schools, we're going to law schools for 3 years. My view would be do 2 years Socratic, last year's practical. You know, set people up. They can pick litigation, they can pick transactional, but set them up for something for success instead of just 3 years Socratic, random subjects that won't have any relation to what they're doing. You know, let them pick a track by the time they get to third year.
Similar to the way we execute medical school education.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Yeah. And I would agree with both Sasha and with Laura. And what I would also say is that it needs to be, you know, it's not one or the other, it's both. And part of what I have found, what I think was helpful is Sasha is an adjunct professor teaching transactional skills. And I have now been an adjunct professor teaching transactional skills. And, you know, part of what you say with Socratic thinking is about or learning is to teach how to think, you know, but here's what's so interesting about that. I think there's a limit to what you learn how to think. What people need to learn is how to problem solve. And I like to think that that was part of what our workshop helped them do and what I've done in my class, because they all come at problems in a very in the box type thinking. And what I think we need to do is not just do the Socratic method and also doing practical skills, but it's also just about learning how to think through problems and thinking about how you can do things differently. I gave them a problem where in class where we talked about they needed to draft a contract and they had to contact their client to find out what the terms of that agreement was. And I wanted them to have a real hands-on experience. So I made myself the client and I had them contact me, schedule time. And then I had interviews with all 30 of my students. And what was so interesting about the scenario I gave them, what their client wanted to do was not in their client's best interest. And they were dealing with a more sophisticated party. And, you know, some of those students just took down what their client wanted to do and then was just going to give them what their client wanted. And so, you know, part of the learning experience that we had in the safe space of class was that sometimes, you know, you got to figure out your client's why. You need to figure out where they want to get. And sometimes it's not no, it's yes, but let's find a way to get where you want to get. Without and preserving all of your rights. And so what I said to them is the benefit of this class is I'm not grading you off if you did not push back on your client or didn't write a memo to your senior partner and said, hey, I've got some concerns about what this person wants to do and you just wrote your contract. I said, the practice of law is about practicing the law. And I want you to be able to make those mistakes here and not make them in the real world where it's going to matter more. And so that's part of what this workshop was about for me and what my class is about, is about giving them the opportunity to make mistakes or to not do things the best way they can do in a safe space so that they can walk away and have learned from it and then use it when they're out in practice. And maybe they will avoid some pitfalls that I ended up falling into because I didn't have the opportunity to make mistakes in law school. I had to make them out in practice.
And I think your point is very well taken. I know in both yours and my role as a general counsel, we're often called upon to have that out of the box thinking where the answer has to be yes, and we should do it this way, or yes, and we can make it work this way. So, Laura, why don't you walk us through sort of what the day was like? Give us sort of overview of what the program was. I guess my first question is, who was the program open to? So, who were the students that were actually made up the cohort that you used for the program? And maybe that's a Lisa question, or
yeah, Lisa, maybe you start out with that one.
Okay, yeah, sure, I can jump in. So, I will be honest with you. The majority of the students who came and participated in our workshop were all from ONU. And not only were they from ONU, but they were also from my transactional skills class. And so I did not make it mandatory. I made it optional, but I did tell them that they could get out of drafting their final contract if they came. So there, I'm putting that out there. But I was also excited that our professor, Rack, who teaches contracts, I did not know that he encouraged his classes to come. And so we had several students who joined us who were, I think I had 2 1Ls and I had 1 2L that was not in our class. So they were all ONU students for the most part. There was one prospective law student that came. And then there were students that Professor Rack had encouraged to come, and they did come.
Yeah. So essentially it was a program designed for ONU students. And I like that approach because a lot of them knew each other and it added some support to the conversation. It wasn't a bunch of strangers and they're trying to draft and do those things. So I like this idea of making it a school-centered program. So we had about 30 students from ONU, and the day really followed a typical contract process. So there was a skit in the very beginning where we had a chef who was talking to a media company about the media company producing a show featuring the chef. And so the day was about that relationship, that contractual relationship. So in the beginning, there was the short skit with some basic facts, but lots of holes. And then we had to sit down at each table, and we had lots of facilitators at the tables with students. And we started saying, well, who are the parties? What's the deal? What kinds of issues are we thinking about? What don't we know? So we identified those kinds of things. And then we progressed to starting to think about what kinds of issues are we going to need to cover in our contracts. Then there was a stage of interviewing the clients and the counterparty. So, for example, Lisa was playing the role of the chef. She came to the people who were representing her. She came to this side of the room, and all the students got to ask her questions, factual questions about how do you feel about this? You made a comment during the, you know, before about this fact. Would you be open to trying to do the deal this way? So they were able to kind of tease out information. And we also got to interview the representative of the media company as well. So it was just a great way for students to see how you engage with clients, where the gaps are, where the holes are, how the way you phrase your questions can determine the answers, and how even when they answer, we have to be, as we've talked about, of you thinking about what's in their best interest as opposed to blindly following what they're saying they want to do. And then towards the end of the day, we actually had some contract negotiations by the students, which was fantastic because the students got to see different styles and different ways of negotiation and got feedback on those different things. So it was really a full day of, you know, a day in the life of a contract and the students getting to really dive into what that feels like as you guide a client from interview to signature.
Fabulous. Sasha, what would you say was sort of your highlight takeaway from the program? It sounds fascinating. I'm very disappointed I missed it, but I've said that before.
I loved seeing the students really engage, seeing how they think through things. And I really have to give credit to Lisa's students here because they came up with questions and ideas and creative solutions that I hadn't even anticipated. And so I love creative problem design. I create different problems for my students at UD, for my team that I train at Intermountain. So I created this problem specifically so that it feels on its face like there's potentially no ZOBA or no space where they're going to come to agreement, but it takes creativity to get to a place of agreement. And watching the students come up with their own creative ideas that weren't even the ones I had anticipated, and then acting out that role on the spot where they're asking me questions that I haven't prepared for, I don't know, it made me so excited because I love that. I love seeing that. And it was just amazing. It was amazing to see how involved they got. So huge kudos to the students at ONU Law School. They were awesome.
And Lisa, what was your sort of highlight takeaway?
So I cannot even believe Laura did not talk about this. Laura reminded me, I think, what did we do it like at lunch, Laura, when we did a LinkedIn where we had everybody go and connect with each other. So even if they were in class, number one, they didn't necessarily have an active LinkedIn profile. And number two, they hadn't connected with each other. And so we took a good half hour and had everybody connecting with each other. And we talked about the importance of building relationships. And so I loved seeing the students do that. And then I was excited to see at least two of our students post about their experiences with ContractsCon. I was like, ooh, look at you. And so that was really, really exciting. And something else I liked is after the day concluded and we were cleaning up, Laura sat down with, I think, three or four of our students and sat down and let them talk to her about any advice that she would have their careers. And so they were completely and totally engrossed, and we basically had to get kicked out of the ballroom. So I liked it because it gave my students the opportunity to start making connections with people that are going to help, you know, who can help guide them in the future. And it's not just about getting a job, but who could be out there and serve maybe as a mentor or help them start understand how building relationships is so important in the legal field.
Well, that's wonderful because you and Laura are two of the most prolific LinkedIn people that I actually know on LinkedIn. So that's wonderful that you brought that skill to them. So what's, I could sit and talk about this all day with you, but let me ask, so what's next for ContractsCon Law School Edition? And before you answer that, I wanted to go back to something you said earlier, just about people who said that they were self-taught in contracts. I mean, that must be so true because I know the ContractsCon that you held in Florida last year, or I guess earlier this year, was so well attended and it got so much buzz. It was amazing to me to sort of see all of the pictures and how many people were there. So clearly there's demand out there for practicing lawyers. And now I'm going to guess after this program, law students as well. So what's next?
So I think we'll continue to focus on professionals because that's the core of How to Contract. Is we're a professional training company for people who are working with contracts, and we're really focused doubling down on providing that fundamentals training. So we've got a lot of we're calling them the contract essentials courses and workshops. 2-hour sessions that give you all of what you need to know. If nobody ever explained the subject to you and you've just been kind of winging it, these are supposed to fill in those gaps. So we'll keep doing that. We've got ContractsCon in Las Vegas in January at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas Law School. We're partnering with them and their students to put that on. But for law students, we're looking for schools who want to host their own. Now, just to clarify, this whole program is run as a TEDx model. There's no fees whatsoever to How to Contract, to use the brand, to use the program. Lisa and Sasha put together great materials, and we can provide those to law schools. So it's basically a plug and play for law schools to put this on their own. The only cost they have are whatever food you want to provide for your students during that day. And you could bring in sponsors as well. You just need a few practicing lawyers so that you have a good student to lawyer ratio or student to contract expert ratio, and any school can have it. It doesn't have to be big. We had 30 students. It was such a great size for this kind of program. So I hope people reach out to me or to Sasha and Lisa and let us know if you want to put one on. We can support you doing that. And hopefully this becomes a standard and benefits students in different law schools around the country, even around the world. I think it's fantastic for other countries and their law students as well.
And I will be sure to share your contact information in the show notes. People can reach out to you on LinkedIn. And, you know, as a litigator for my career before I went in-house, I clearly did moot court, did trial ad. I really hadn't thought about the absence of practical training once you're sort of leave that sort of litigation or, you know, speaking in court rubric. So a great, thank you guys for sharing this. I can't wait to see what's next. And I am hoping to come to ContractsCon in Las Vegas because I could probably brush up on my contracting skills. I think once you get to, I don't know, Lisa, what you think, but once you get to sort of the general counsel role, you're not looking at everyday contracts and you've got a team of people that are looking at them. So I think it's always good to just brush up and remember there was a time when, you know, I read a lot of contracts. So I don't know, Sasha, Lisa, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I'll say to that, Deborah, is I am now a legal office of one, and I look at everything. And at some point, I do hope to train other people within my organization to read contracts so that I don't see everything. But right now, my eyes are on everything. So, but last minute thoughts.
Yeah, yes, in full transparency, I'm starting a new role in a few weeks where I'm going to build a legal function from the ground up. So I will be a law department of one as well. So my eyes will be on everything.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, closing thought from this and, you know, prior to us beginning the show, it's one thing for Sasha and me and Laura to think this was a really great thing for law school students. And I felt good when we walked away. But this last week has been confirmed for me because I have gotten thank you notes. I've seen emails. The fact that I have students telling me that this is what they wanted, this is what they needed, and they appreciated all the time and the effort we put into it. To me, that is why I do what I do, and that's why I'll continue to do what I do. And if anybody wants to put this on at a law school, I'm certainly willing to help consult and talk about what went right, what things we could have done better, because I think that done well, law school students are going to love this and get a ton out because I know my students did, and they told me that.
My guess is you're going to get a lot of takers on that. You're on mute,
I hope,
Laura.
So.
Just to share to further Lisa's point, she shared with me a thank you note from one of the students. And the student said, in 3 years of law school so far, ContractsCon has been one of the most enjoyable and educational out of the classroom experiences. In one day, we made that kind of impact on one student. So being able to take this program and expand it and bring it to other law schools, you know, it's just fantastic about thinking about the kind of impact we can make.
My closing thoughts here are that being able to provide like hands-on experiential opportunities for students is amazing. What's even more amazing is showing them the value of community. And just being here with such talented women, so women supporting women, professionals supporting professionals, and then seeing that at this ContractsCon for law students, professionals supporting students, seeing the students on LinkedIn, students supporting professionals, like it's all about community and supporting each other, no matter what avenue of law you're practicing, no matter where your career goes, no matter where you come from, no matter what state you came in from for this event. It's just about people supporting people. And that's what I think is really beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I would just close.
Hey, Deborah, before we hang up.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Can I give shout outs to Krista Russell? Krista flew in from Florida to join us as a contract facilitator. All of my former colleagues from Kentucky State University and Christina Cross from Bricker Graydon, her law firm was the one that sponsored with our primary sponsor. And I just want to give them a shout out because we wouldn't have been able to do it without all of their participation.
Well, absolute shout out to all of those people. I join you in that. And I guess I would close it out by saying, I commend you for seeing a need, but I applaud you for actually acting on it and really bringing something. And so I am, you know, I am hopeful that I can do a small part in bringing what you guys have done to a wider audience. And I encourage anybody who's listening, who is from a law school, affiliated with a law school, knows a law school, to bring this idea to them, because I think it's a wonderful idea, and clearly you're getting amazing feedback and people had a great time. And we need more people coming out of law school who are not afraid of contracts and who feel competent and confident that they can take a look at a contract and know what to do with it. So a huge thank you for joining me again, and I look forward to seeing what comes next.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.